Well, greetings. This is a Bible bit, a short little message that I wanted to do about an interesting thought that occurs in the Bible book of Job. Now, too much can be said to really do an intro, a proper intro. It's just too vast a subject, what the book of Job is about. So we'll dispense with that for now. But it is a very, very interesting book, and it is one of the wisdom books of the Bible. And I ran across this section, basically chapters 33 and into 37, five chapters. And this is where Elihu, one of Job's critics, one of his accusers, is talking to Job. And unlike the three other men who are neighbors of Job and come to him and criticize him, Elihu doesn't do quite as much harmful, hurtful opposition and criticism to Job, but he does a little. But more interestingly, Elihu advocates for God in this section of the book. And what I want to look at is something that comes out in this section. Chapter 33, look at verse 14. And let's look at 14 through 19. Indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds. Then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man away from his conduct and keep him from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over to Sheol. Man is also chastened with pain on his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones. So Elihu is saying to Job, you know, God touches us. God impacts us. God reaches us. God is not a distant entity that has no dealings with creation and the man that he has created. He's involved with him. Believer or unbeliever, God is involved with man. God is communing with and engaging with and having, well, what the Bible would call works. God's works include engaging with mankind. And he's doing that for our benefit. He's doing that to teach. Yes, he is. Let's go over to chapter 36. And we'll see something interesting there. Chapter 36 of Job, verse 21 and 22. Be careful, do not turn to evil, for you have preferred this to affliction. What Elihu is saying there is, Job, you know, all your complaint about the trial that God has put on you, you have insisted on an accounting, you've insisted on, you know, remedy, but really God is working with you. God is doing something in you. Elihu says, be careful. Don't shut God out. Look at verse 22. God is exalted in his power. Who is a teacher like him? Elihu is saying, don't shut God out. He's teaching you. He's doing something in you. And look at the next verse. Who has appointed him his way? Verse 23. And who has said, you have done wrong? Elihu says, you cannot call God wrong. God is perfect. A little bit later, Elihu will say God is also sovereign, and we'll see that in a moment. All right, the next verse. Verse 24, remember that you should exalt his work of which men have sung. Now again, as I said at the beginning, this portion of the book of Job is Elihu advocating that man should turn their eyes toward God and consider what God is doing. Consider the actions of God, the works of God. And in this portion of the book, Elihu starts with that, verse 24 of chapter 36, remember that you should exalt his work, he says. And Elihu also ends this portion by saying the same thing. Over to chapter 37, verse 14. Listen to this, O Job, stand to consider the wonders of God. So Elihu says, all right, Job, let's meditate on the action of God in the world and in men. He says, let's do that. Even though, back to chapter 36 and now to verse 25, he says, all men have seen it, man beholds from afar. He says, all of mankind knows that God does things in men and around men, but we don't always understand it, do we? From afar. Okay? Now, what Elihu's going to do next in verses 26 and further, and then into chapter 37 a little bit, Elihu's going to describe some of the things God does in nature, that is, man's environment. Let's go ahead and read that. So, 36, beginning at 26, chapter 36, and then verse 26. And we'll read through 37:4. Behold, God is exalted, and we do not know him. The number of his years is unsearchable. For he draws up the drops of water. They distill rain from the mist, which the clouds pour down. They drip upon man abundantly. Can anyone understand the spreading of the clouds, the thundering of his pavilion? Behold, he spreads his lightning about him, and he covers the depths of the sea. For by these he judges peoples. He gives food in abundance. He covers his hands with the lightning and commands it to strike the mark. Its noise declares his presence, the cattle also concerning what is coming up. At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place. Listen closely to the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that goes out from his mouth. Under the whole heaven he lets it loose, and his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain the lightnings when his voice is heard. So Elihu is saying God works through nature. Then there's still a point to be made, and we haven't got to it yet. But Elihu is, up to this point, saying God works in our world, and he works in us, and he does things. He does things in us. Now, you may push back and say, well, you know, ancient peoples had a strange view of weather and environment, and, you know, they believed that God, you know, caused it and spoke through it and all that, and us moderns know better. You know, it's just science. It's just, you know, the reactions of clouds and, you know, all of that. Well, okay. But Elihu isn't really saying that. Elihu isn't saying we know God by thunder. What he's saying is, God makes sure that day to day, his presence is detected. That day to day, man is confronted with the reality and the presence of God. That's what he's saying. Remember he said before about can't comprehend and we see him from afar. Okay, well here is where I want to go. All right, now verse 7 of chapter 37. Verse 7, here we are. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. After describing God working in the world and God working in individual lives, making himself known, making his presence felt, Elihu then says that God even goes so far as to put man at the mercy of nature so that he has to stop in his tracks. He can't move. He seals his hand, verse 7. He can't move. He can't do his work out in the field. He can't, you know, go about his daily routine. He's forced. You know, in a modern times, it means, you know, the lights go out in the house and the floods happen and all these different things. And Elihu is saying, God stops man in his tracks sometimes. God seals the hand of man and causes him to be at the mercy of nature. Something so simple and so basic and so, you know, often occurring. And yet, God does it so that man is forced. Man is humbled. And he is forced to consider God. He's forced to consider him. I find that marvelous. I find that tremendous. And look what he says there in the end of that verse, verse 7, that all men may know his work. Sometimes we have to be stopped before we'll think, huh? We have to be stopped. We have to be, you know, we have to have our routine disrupted. And what I'm getting at here is we shouldn't always think that the things that come at us in life, we shouldn't always think, you know, that they ruin our program, that they knock us off of our balance, that they, you know, ruin our plans, because many times, if not all the time, events in our lives are God speaking. Events in our lives are God ringing a bell. You know, the other wisdom books, you know, there are five wisdom books in the Bible. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. All five of these books do have this truth in them, that God is constantly appealing to us. He's constantly reaching out to us. And here we have God stopping us dead in our tracks, motionless, powerless, resourceless, so that, as it says there, all men may know his work. We are forced to be a witness to his presence. That is awesome. Well, thank you for listening to this Bible Minute, this Bible Bit, and I wish for you faith in God. Believe God.